Thursday, May 26th, 2016. This is the Sales Playbook Podcast. I am your host, Paul Castain, from YourSalesPlaybook.com, and this is the podcast for sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners who want to sell more. Now, this week, with the official launch of the summer selling season right here in the U.S., I thought I'd take you behind the scenes for kind of a rare look at how I've been coaching my clients to sell more. You ready for this? While their competitors are slacking. But first, before we begin, this week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast is brought to you by our 25 Ways to Rock Your Sales This Summer webinar. So let's go ahead and pay the bills. I think one of the biggest challenges we have in sales is selling during the summertime. I mean, we have people telling us, call me back in September. We have many businesses slowing down with employees taking vacations. Certainly the people you're trying to reach are off on vacations and in and out of the office, maybe even guilty of a bit of a mental sabbatical during the summer. And sometimes, just sometimes, we as sales professionals tend to use all of these things as an excuse to kind of leave on our very own mental sabbatical. And guess what? Meanwhile, we just lost about 16.5% up to about 25% of our entire year. We just lost all that productivity. Now, what if we changed that thinking, right, and that mindset to one where we could actually leverage the summer selling season instead of being so damn challenged by it? And that's the approach, by the way, that I've taken with a lot of my coaching clients. And for the first time, I thought I would share that publicly. I thought I would take you behind the scenes and show you what I personally do to sell more during the summer. And one thing you need to know about sales training, in case you didn't know it, sales training is one of those industries that just, like a lot of the activity, just absolutely falls off a cliff come summertime. So what I thought I'd do is put together a program to help you be able to leverage the summer to have more opportunities than you've had in the past. And that's exactly what we're going to be doing during our upcoming webinar, 25 Ways to Rock Your Sales This Summer. So here's what you're going to gain if you decide to join us. Two summer specific, now that sounds like a tongue twister, doesn't it? I don't think I could say that 10 times fast. Two summer specific attention getters. Things that you could use the summer, use a little creativity, some things that I've personally used to land more appointments and generate more opportunities. We're going to talk about 10, count them, 10 email tactics to help you stand out and help you increase your response rates. We're going to talk about 3 ways to handle call me back after summer. Like you've never heard that one before over the summer, right? I'm going to show you how to handle that. 2 ways to triple your referrals. I want to say that again, just in case. Like I said, did he just say what I think he said? 2 ways to triple the amount of referrals that you're getting. You want to talk about low-hanging fruit? Learn how to get better with referrals. We're going to talk about it. 3 questions to ask your clients that will absolutely increase the amount of opportunities you have right now. And then what we're going to do is we're going to end it all, because there's going to be a lot more in between in there. I'm going to show you, I'm going to lay out a ridiculously simple communication plan that you can follow right from the beginning of June when we do this webinar, right up until right here in the U.S., up until Labor Day, right in September, that's going to help you stand out, help you generate more opportunities. So I'm not going to just show you all kinds of ideas. I'm going to bring it all together for you and create one of my famous communication maps for you. And you're going to see how you could absolutely take a period of time that many of us, we just kind of throw our arms up in the air. We say it is what it is and actually leverage it as an opportunity. So the point of all this is to help you gain more skills to have an even better summer than you've had in the past. So if you'd like to learn more about this webinar, I want you to visit yoursalesplaybook.com/summer. yoursalesplaybook.com/summer. And you know the deal, folks. If all of a sudden you look and you say, oh my gosh, Keston, you're doing this on June 9th, or you don't like the time that I'm doing this on June 9th, I want you to sign up anyway, because I tape every one of my courses, every one of my webinars. And what we do is, it's usually later that day, we send out the recording to everyone. So for those of you who can make it live, come join us. For those of you who can't, sign up anyway. You'll get the recording. Once again, if you visit yoursalesplaybook.com/summer, you can learn more about it. Reserve your seat now, and I hope to see you there. Okay, so when I work with my coaching clients, and we're heading into the summer selling season, my first objective, the primary objective, is to change their mindset from one of the summer being challenging and a pain in the ass and what the heck do I do, and even in some cases like a panic mode, to a mindset of how can I actually leverage the summer? In other words, how can we work with what we've been given? And just as, you know, just a quick little aside, you always want to work with what you've been given. That's how you beat the hell out of your competitors. They're the ones that are going to be cursing what they've been given. Those are the ones that are going to be complaining about what they've been given. Those are the ones who are going to be taking advantage and using that as yet another excuse not to do something. But not you, because you're an aspiring sales rock star, damn it. And, you know, like I said, you should always leverage what you've been given. And I want to just give you a few examples. I don't care if you're heading into summer. You want to use that. I don't care if you're heading into the holiday selling season. You guys know what happens then. You have people that take what really should be about a week of slacking and turn it into this whole, like, six-week mental sabbatical that starts, like, right after Thanksgiving and lasts, like, right after New Year's. Like, they milk that holiday to no end, right? You guys know I'm right here. But you want to milk even other things and take advantage of other things that you've been given. For example, what if you're a small player and you've got, like, nothing but these huge competitors out there that could, like, swallow you up alive? Well, there's this company, and I believe they're up in Albany, because that's where I happened to see a billboard that they had that was kind of cool. And you know, McDonald's has, like, this whole thing, like, billions and billions served. This is just a local hamburger joint, and they haven't served billions and billions. You know what they have on their sign? Less than a billion served. It's not a lie, right? I'm sure they've done less than a billion. I believe them. So they've done that. Several years ago, there was a famous advertising campaign for the whole, like, car rental thing. And it was a company by the name of Avis. Avis used the fact that they were ranked number two to their advantage. They leveraged it. They used what they were given. And you know what their whole theme was? We're number two. We have to work harder. Think about that. You want to talk about using what you've been given to your advantage. That would be a lot different than just throwing your hands up in the air and giving up, right? So we always want to leverage what we've been given. And in this context, we've been given the summer, so we need to work with that. So, you know, there's going to be five questions that I'm going to take you through today. And these are the questions that I ask my sales reps. Now, at the end of the podcast, I have a really cool freebie for you. In fact, the heck with the end of the podcast. I'm going to give it to you right now, because that's the way I like to roll. So what I've done is I've taken these five questions, put them all into a handy-dandy PDF worksheet for you, or worksheets, if you will, because there's multiple pages, probably, I don't know, about 7-8 pages or something like that. And if you visit yoursalesplaybook.com/May, as in the month of May, worksheet, yoursalesplaybook.com/May worksheet, download them, and you could kind of follow along, provided you're not driving and doing that. That would just be kind of dicky, right? And dangerous, too. Dicky and dangerous. But anyway, before we talk about these questions, quick message to all the sales managers who are listening. You know, what I think you should do I'm going to strongly advise you to have a sales meeting, like, really soon, because, like, we're right there, the summer selling season right here in the U.S. And what I want you to do is plan it around these questions that I'm going to teach you today. And I'm going to give you a formula that I want you to follow. And what's really cool about this formula, I use this in all my training sessions to make them interactive. If you want to make your sales meetings more interactive, follow this formula. And if you want to get some really cool answers to these questions I'm going to teach you today, follow this format. So what you're going to do is you're going to take one question at a time with your sales team. You're going to ask the question. You're going to give each of them, or give the team, 2 to 3 minutes to answer the question in silence. This way they're thinking it through. They're not influenced by anyone else's answers in the group. They just, for the next 2 to 3 minutes, they're going to think it through. And then what you're going to do then is you're going to call on each of the teammates, unless, like, you have, like, a gazillion members of your team, and that might not work out too well. And in that instance, I would suggest that you kind of randomly call on a bunch of people, and you have them share their thoughts. Now, there's a reason why you do this. And you sales reps are going to get pissed off at me for kind of revealing the secret here, but I don't think it's such a secret. I think everybody knows it. The reason why you do this is so that people don't hide. And, you know, like, what cracks me up about salespeople is that we have the most talkative people on the planet. You put us in a sales meeting, and everybody, like, shuts the hell up. And then all of a sudden it becomes like, you know, like, the vibe becomes out of, like, you know, an introvert's support group or something like that. So that's why you do this. Now, sales reps, if you choose to do this exercise on your own, I want you to do this in a quiet place where you're not going to be distracted. I want you to. And you ready for this? All homework assignments should baby you like this one, because this is going to be, like, awesome, what I'm going to say next. Get, like, some good music into the earbuds that you can tune stuff out. If you can, sit outside. If you like the outdoors like me, sit outside. Bring a glass of wine. Keep it at, like, one, man. I don't need you getting hammered and then, like, writing, like, some real, like, crazy stuff. Like, when you look at it later, like, it's like, you know, like those drunken texts from over the weekend. Like, what the hell was I thinking? And, you know, how many people got this message, right? So I want you to do that, kind of relax a little bit, and go through the exercises. And when you get done with the exercise, why don't you ask your sales manager if you could teach this to your team? And the reason why, and by the way, I'm not looking for any credit here. You go tell them you wrote it, for all I care. Actually, I would care, because it's just like, come on, really? You can steal my stuff? But seriously, the reason why you want to teach it to your team, because there's just no better way to learn than to teach it to other people. Plus, you're going to be working those public speaking muscles, which I think are really critical in sales, and also your facilitation muscles. I mean, we use that in sales, right? Facilitating meetings. So that's what I want you to do. So now I kind of feel like I've beaten around the bush here. So let's get down to business. Question number one might be one of the most important questions here. It might be the most important question you're going to ask of yourself. And in a way, it's the anti-Band-Aid question. What's a Band-Aid? Something we kind of put on in the moment, and we neglect a bigger issue. So if you're feeling right now a little bit of pressure heading into the summer months, or you're concerned about your pipeline going into the summer, then the question you want to ask yourself in this exercise is, in what ways can I keep this from happening again next year? Now, here's a newsflash for everybody. You ready for this? This is why I make the big bucks, folks. Summers weren't just invented. I mean, the same thing with Christmas. I mean, you'd think, like, Christmas was, like, just invented, right? It's been around for, like, a hell of a long time. So we need to stop acting, like, so surprised when all of a sudden it's here again. Right? We know they're going to show up. So, you know, we really need to plan for it. We can't, like, wait, like, a few days before Memorial Day to start, like, addressing summer stuff. I mean, I can't give you a time machine to change that. But what I can do is teach you how to learn the lesson so it doesn't happen again next year. So if you're feeling a little bit of pressure going into the summer selling season, before we start talking about how to deal with it now, you really owe it to yourself to kind of keep this from becoming just a Band-Aid. And ask yourself, well, in what ways can I keep this from happening again next year? And listen, it's very important that you know that I am right in the trenches with you. I'm not like one of these sales trainers that stopped selling in like 1983 and he's just some philosophical type of dude that really doesn't know what it's like to carry a bag. I'm in there every single day. I am a one-man act. I'm not like, you know, some organization that has all these layers of people in it and I could just kick back and just collect my money. I got to sing for my supper every single day. And one of the mistakes I made the very first year I was in business, and it was such a rookie mistake for me to make. I just was thrown off balance. I could give you every excuse in the world, but I screwed up. I started my business in, I believe it was April 2011. And I was so busy with starting it up, and there was just a lot of things going on between incorporating the business and just like getting all the proper tools in that I needed. There were some products that I was working on that I was going to be, I knew I was going to be releasing in the fall. So all these things that I was doing, website stuff, talking to designers, designing my different marketing pieces that I wanted to send out. And guess what I forgot to do? I forgot to properly prepare myself going into the summer. My summer was scary dead the first year I was in business. And it was scary because nothing was coming in. So I was living out of bank accounts. I wasn't living out of all this business that was going my way. I had deals that I had closed, but some of these people were under contract, so I couldn't start with them until January of 2012, and this was 2011. And I have other people that, okay, we're going to get going, but we can't get going until like September, October. So it was really scary, and I was whipping through a lot of my savings during that time. And, you know, aside from focusing on what can I do about this right now, I really gave myself the gift of saying, okay, you know, what am I going to do next year to make sure that this doesn't happen again? So that's question number one, which we have just promptly beaten the hell out of. Question number two, what you want to do is understand that potential clients and your clients as well, they love to use the summer as a stalling mechanism. And to be quite honest with you, I mean, I'm being sarcastic here, but I really believe this. I think people in general will milk any holiday that they can to their advantage, right? They will milk it. They will tag days onto it, weeks onto it, in some cases, a month and a half onto it. And I mean, it could be like Groundhog Day, and you're going to have some asshat that is going to just like slow it down because of Groundhog Day. I mean, I exaggerate, and I'm being a wise ass, but I'm really not too far off in my feelings about it. And I've come to realize that it's pretty damn accurate, that belief. So the question is now, you ready? This is really important. I want you to pay attention to this. The other stuff you don't have to pay attention to me on. You can kind of zone out or whatever the hell it is that you do when I'm supposed to be like, you know, like getting through to you here. But anyway, the question is, in what ways can I offer a compelling reason to meet now instead of in September or after Labor Day, whatever the heck it is people are telling you, after July 4th or whatever? So let me say this again. The question is, in what ways can I offer a compelling reason to meet now instead of like in September after Labor Day? You know, get that like that urgency going. So I have a suggestion for you with this question. You've really, and this is one of those things like the first tip I gave you today where I said you should always leverage the situation that you're in instead of looking at it as a challenge. You want to look at it almost suspiciously, like, or, you know, suspiciously, like, what am I missing here? There's something here for me, and I feel like it's like right in front of me. What the heck is it? Look at it that way. Well, here's the other thing, too. You always want to kind of mentally fire yourself. Rehire yourself as the person who buys your products and services. So as you're thinking of compelling reasons, plural, to meet now instead of in September, think about it from their perspective. What would be in it for you if you were them, right? What would compel you to meet now instead of later? So I want you to do that. I want you to think it through that way. What would make you meet now, again, instead of later? Now, with this in mind, you are now properly equipped to answer question number three. Question number three is, in what ways can I respond to call me back in September? So, you know, there's flat-out objections in sales. This one isn't an objection, like especially when we're calling to make an appointment. It's a stall, the same way that you really wouldn't call send me some information an objection. You would call that a stall. They're not giving you a yes or a no. They're just delaying, really, any kind of a like response that you could do something with. So in this case, this whole call me back in September thing, call me back after summer thing, can be a bit of a stall. So using the compelling reason that you came up with in question number two, you're going to answer the next question, which is question number three. In what ways can I respond to call me back in September? Now, my suggestion to you is to come up with at least three responses. This is what I do with my coaching clients. This is what we do in all of the online courses that you guys hear me talking about all the time. I always want you to come up with three. We call it the triad theory. And the reason why you want three is because when you have three, it will never be a matter of, well, could I respond? It's a matter of, well, how shall I respond? I have all these cool responses that Uncle Paul here, like, kicked my ass into coming up with. It's going to boost your confidence, and it's really, really going to help you. Now, I have another suggestion with question number three here. You want to rehearse these answers so that they become conversational and it doesn't sound scripted. I hate scripts, and I equally hate sales trainers who say that you should use a script because actors use scripts and you'd never know it. And that's when the New York wise ass comes out here in Uncle Paul and says, back up and say it again, Mr. Wannabe Sales Trainer. You said actors, right? Well, I'm not an effing actor. I'm an effing sales rep. Get it together, dickhead. Right? So that's kind of like where I feel with that, how I feel about that. But here's what you can do is come up with how you would respond to that. Rehearse your answers, tape yourself, and I have a rule for this. Again, something else that we teach in all the courses. I call it the kitchen table test. It's also known as, by the way, affectionately known as the anti-marketing test. I love marketing people. Don't get me wrong. Really, I spent a lot of years in the printing industry. I still serve a lot of clients in the printing industry. I'm probably one of the only sales trainers out there that has a complete arsenal of marketing material. And I'm not just out there on social media, you know, using the free stuff. I design a lot of pieces. So I'm really into the marketing thing. I appreciate marketing folk only because I'm a one-man act. I have to do it all myself. So I appreciate, and I'm quite jealous of those of you who have a marketing department, that you don't have to go and do what I do and just like do it all yourself. So lots of props, lots of respect for them. But I'm here to tell you that many times the way they tell you to say things, people just don't talk that way. And they'll start littering like your dialogue and telling you to say things like, you know, we're a full service this, and we offer comprehensive that, end-to-end this, one source that. And again, let me just go back to my point here. Nobody talks that way. So the kitchen table test is very simple, and you could apply it to this question number three. You can apply it to things you're saying on the phone, when you're sending an email, if you're doing a presentation, and it's very, very simple. Imagine yourself at the kitchen table with the person that you want to communicate with. If you would not say it to them at the kitchen table, don't you dare say it to them in sales or in your presentation. Don't. Because I want to tell you right now, if you were hanging out with me at my kitchen table, I wouldn't be saying dickish things like full service and comprehensive. We would be having a conversation. Think about that for a second. I said it so angry there. Like I'm bitter all of a sudden. And I'm not. I'm having a really good day here. I don't know, man. I just like, you know, I got to reflect on that. But anyway, seriously, if you were hanging out with me, it would be more like a visit. And I think that's what people want with you. We like visits with people, don't we? We don't like being sold. We don't like things that sound salesy or marketing speak. So make sure that you utilize the kitchen table test. Let's go on to question number four. There's a really good chance that your competitors are going to mentally check out this summer. I'm going to tell you right now, many people on your sales team are going to mentally check out this summer. And you know what? If we're being really honest, all of us, whether it be summer or during the holiday season, we've mentally checked out too. So the question now becomes, in what ways can I keep up my appearances and outwork my competitors this summer? Let's say it again. In what ways can I keep up my appearances and outwork my competitors this summer? Now, the one thing I want to say, and I actually meant to say this earlier, and this is what happens when you have like so many damn things you want to tell people on the brain. You start forgetting stuff like an old man here, the ripe old age of 50, man, losing it. You know, when I say things like outwork your competitors over the summer, I want to be very clear about something. You might be thinking that Uncle Paul has become one of those asshats. And they're asshats, by the way, who go around and say, you always have to be hustling, and while you're taking a summer vacation, I'm selling your clients and all that. I mean, you know, it just, I hate that message, and I hate them. I really do. I just think it is just like how you sound like an asshole to people. There is no shame in being human and having a life outside of sales and slowing down and hugging your kids and going to the beach and all those things. Quite frankly, I think it's going to hurt you if you don't do those things. You know, I get my best ideas when I just like slow it down a little bit and everything. So, and also too, you need to know who's giving you this message. I am in an industry, and I've said this before to you guys, that is extremely competitive. And if you guys think I'm kidding, I want you to think about all the people out there sending you blogs and emails and stuff that are sales thought leaders that are doing what I do for a living. Think about all the sales podcasts that are out there, all the sales dudes and dudettes on Twitter and LinkedIn and all these things at the sales conferences. I'm competing with all them. I'm telling you, I'm also competing against people who are calling themselves sales trainers and consultants, and you know, they're kind of like displaced between sales jobs. You know, I know I'll consult and I'll coach and all that. So I'm competing against all that. I am also selling to the type of person, and please don't be offended, that generally doesn't feel like they need sales training or coaching. In some cases, they're insulted because of these sales egos that many of us have. We all have them, right? And they think they don't need it, or like it's a punishment to have to get a coach, or when their boss brings me in to train them or whatever it is. So you have a highly competitive industry. You have a lot of people who don't feel like they need it. You have a lot of people who flat out cheap. They won't invest in themselves. So I've got that. You have a lot of bosses that are flat out cheap who will spend all kinds of money on marketing or a website or whatever, but they won't hire somebody to train their team. And they just say, well, go out there. It's a numbers game, right? So you have all that. So I have all those things out there that I'm competing against. And I'm here to tell you, last summer, I went on 6 camping trips and tripled my sales over the summer before, which wasn't a crappy summer. It was a damn good summer. I was like, wow, that was a great summer. I tripled that. So I'm here to tell you that you can do both, but I don't want you to misunderstand my message that I'm saying that when we say outwork your competitors, that it means you cannot have a summer. You absolutely can have a summer. So the question is, in what ways, and I'm just going to repeat this again, can I keep up my appearances and outwork my competitors this summer? Question number 5, and the final question, if you will. Kind of like what I mentioned at the very beginning of these questions, right, when I took you through really the mindset that I want my coaching clients to have. You need to understand that sometimes the real challenge that we face, it lies in our belief that the summer is a problem, instead of thinking about the opportunities that summer could present. So let me say that again. Many times the real challenge, it's in the mindset, right? It always begins with the mindset when you think about it. But it's this mindset and the belief that summer is a problem and a liability instead of an asset and an opportunity. So the question is, in what ways can I leverage the summer selling season? In what ways can I leverage the summer selling season? And this one, I just want to give you a little guidance on this. There's a lot that you can come up with here if you just kind of, you know, like that song, Free Your Mind and the Rest Will Follow. I kind of felt very profound there. I wish it was my line. I love that line, by the way, and that's kind of a cool song. But anyway, a lot of my clients right now, and I did a blog post on this today on yoursalesplaybook.com. In fact, if you go back to May 26th, 2016, on yoursalesplaybook.com, you will see a post where I talk about how people are using client events to sell more. Another phrase or word to describe this, really a phrase, is events-based marketing. Events-based marketing. And what a lot of my clients are doing is saying, okay, it's summer, so people right now are in a more laid-back, less formal type of mood. So instead of trying to force them into something more formal like a meeting or something like that, they're using events like client lunches and client dinners, lunch and learns, things where they're hosting networking events and plant tours and contests and all kinds of cool things. Many of these have a summer theme to them. So that's one way that you could leverage the summer, right? If this, remember, we want to always use what we've been given. Somebody's saying, here is the summer, run with it. Now you have an opportunity to change up your communication. So instead of the same old message, now you can have a message that's centered around the summer. And I'll give you a great example. One of the things that I've done going into the summer is I created a freebie for everybody, these free worksheets that give you the five questions that every sales rep needs to ask before the summer begins. Do you see, I've used what I've been given. A time of year when most of you guys, like, you know, you don't want to go and do any stinking sales training, man. You want to go hang out. And now I have an opportunity to change my message to you, offer you something useful. That's can be a really good thing. So there you have it. Now, if you want the free PDF, these worksheets that I've been promising with these five questions that we went through today, I want you to visit yoursalesplaybook.com/May worksheet, yoursalesplaybook.com/May worksheet. Now, if you'd like to get 25 ways to help you sell more this summer, make sure that you visit yoursalesplaybook.com/summer. And the final thing that I want to say is, when we look at this whole thing of, like, this whole concept of in what ways can I leverage the summer, and you remember I said it's an opportunity you could change up your messaging. If you want some help with that and you want to get into this concept that I teach called communication mapping, where we look at several different types of touches that include phone and email, but they're not exclusive to phone and email, which many of you, that's all you're clinging to, phone and email. And I'm teaching a communication mapping process that includes those two things and adds a whole variety of other things, like another 12, 13 ideas to keep you in front of people. Then what we do with communication mapping is we kind of diagram out, okay, touch number one is going to be this. Then I'm going to wait this amount of time. Touch number two is going to be this. I'm going to wait certain amount of time. And what we do is we create a series of three touch mini campaigns. So you're not a marketing person. And I almost said, and thank God for that. But now it sounds like I'm anti-marketing. I really do like marketing people more than operations people, but I needed to say that. And anyway, no, I'm sorry. If I don't stop myself, I'm going to be bashing operations and people in marketing. And I actually love those people. I really do. I want to say for the record, I do. But they can be very challenging. So anyway, having said that, what we do, you're not a marketing person, so you don't have to, like, plan out, like, the next, like, year and a half of your communication and write it all out in a thorough plan. We want to think in threes. The brain loves threes, man. We can process threes so incredibly well. So what we do in the process that I teach is we have you think about it in threes. And I give you lots of different examples. And I teach you how to use each one of them. So if we're talking about, well, why don't you include some things in LinkedIn? Most of you don't even know what the hell to do on LinkedIn, right? Well, I send invites. Well, what do you do after the invite without, you know, being real, like, salesy? And we talk about how you can marry all of those things into a communication plan. If you'd like to learn how to do that, visit yoursalesplaybook.com/sellmore. yoursalesplaybook.com/sellmore. And by the way, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com, and I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems Production.